This morning we're going to do something very special. When my boys were little, as preacher's kids, their games were a little bit different. Their games, I used to come home and I'd hear all this yelling out on the deck of my house. And I'd come around the corner and I'd look out and chairs were overturned. And my kids were playing and shouting and having a great time. They were playing baptism. First one would put the other one down, they'd come out of the water shouting and praising God. And it was one of the delights. And I used to talk to my children about, what do you want to do someday? You know, someday when we get older, we'll all figure out what we're supposed to do, right? I used to say, what are you going to do? And, you know, they'd come up with a variety of things. And my son Chris over here, from the time he was 5 years of age, he'd look at me and go, I'm going to be a pastor. I went, well, praise God. Now, I'm a Western Washington kid. And so thinking, you know, okay, great. You know, Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia. I said, where do you want a pastor? He looked at me. He's a five-year-old boy. He goes, I'm going to pastor in Montana. And I'd say, Montana? Who do you know in Montana? We don't have anybody in Montana. He says, I don't care. I'm going to pastor in Montana. And I'm here to tell you that in a couple of weeks, this family of the Hunters are moving to pastor in Butte, Montana. So the Lord has brought it around in fulfillment. He's quite a preacher. He's helped to plant the East Wenatchee Pray Center in East Wenatchee, obviously. And he's been involved in ministry for a long time to youth as well as to adults. And I said, Chris, before you guys get on the road and go away, come on over and preach for us. Many of you heard him preach before, full of passion and zeal for Jesus. So I want you to give a Grace Christian Center welcome to Christopher Hunter, if you would please.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Good. I just wanted to start out with something. I wasn't going to do this, but what is your name again?
Gene.
So many people, young and old, will not speak forth the word of God. And every time I'm here, you speak forth the word of God, whether it's in tongues or in your own understanding. And there's something that's so powerful about that, because many times people miss out on what God has to say because someone won't say something. And so I want to encourage you, thank you for sharing. Thank you for being willing to share, because it takes tremendous courage and it takes tremendous guts, and you've got them. And the kingdom of God is going to grow. And I know there are burdens on your heart. There are people you want to see come to know God in your life, around you. And because of your faithfulness, your prayers are going to get answered.
Thank you.
Because of your faithfulness.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
First of all, I want to say thank you to my dad for inviting me to come here and preach today. It's a great honor to be here. I love this church. I love you guys. I love my dad. I love Pastor Carl and Sherry. Pastor Carl, you've been my pastor for many years. And through thick and thin, through hardship, through pain, you've been there. You were one of the first. In fact, when we were playing on a porch, I was always pretending to be you preaching. I mean, there was a depth to your teaching, a quality that's almost unparalleled.
Yeah.
So powerful. The ministry that you've had. The impact that you've had. It's not an accident that Carmen and I asked you to be a part of marrying us. We were told we had the option of whoever we wanted, and we wanted you a part. Because you meant that much to me, and you meant that much to Carmen in the few years that she knew you there in Pullman as well. Pastor Sherry, you've been a great friend to us. A mama, a grandma, looking out for us, taking care of us. It's just been awesome. We appreciate you. your relationship with God, and just the straightforward trust. And when we screwed up, you let us know about it. One time I'd done something and she said to me, "We should have kicked you out of the kingdom of God, but we were laughing so hard." And that wasn't the last time either. But you've been there. You've been a rock. And I thank you. And my dad, what an example of being a minister and never giving up. No matter what the situation was, no matter what the circumstances was, when her mom got sick and you were there with her, you showed me how to love a wife, and how to love a mom, and how to be a man. And even though we didn't do a lot of hunting and fishing and camping and stuff, you showed me how to be a man, and that a man takes care of his house and takes care of his family. And I thank you very much. Now I got to tell you a little bit of a funny story, because my dad used to preach and tell stories about us. So now I get to tell a story about him. Anybody ever have that one person in the family that when you go out to eat, you always get the cold plate? That was my dad. It didn't matter where we went, no matter what we did. If we were at pizza, he would get the cold pizza. If we were out to eat where there was French fries, he'd get the cold fries. And, of course, he didn't go up to the waiter or waitress and ask them to reheat it. He would send one of my brothers and I to go do that. And so embarrassedly, we'd take the plate of food with us. "Would you please reheat this for my dad? And please don't look at me again." And with reluctance, they'd take the plate and heat it up and bring it back. And sure enough, it wasn't warm enough still. And so we'd have to reheat it again. To this day, if I get a cold plate, I will not take it back. It doesn't matter. It's not worth the embarrassment or the hassle. In fact, they get a bigger tip if they just keep the food coming. I think that we didn't get a TV with a remote for a long time because my dad had three remotes. If you recall the TVs where you had the push buttons to turn the channel or turn up the volume, I learned how to channel surf because when the commercials came on, it was turn the channel. Okay. No, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. And you know, you don't realize it when you're a kid, but everybody goes to commercials at the same times. Right? Because they're all on a schedule. So we're flipping through the channels to find something, and it's all commercials. And eventually we get back on the news, or whatever my dad was wanting to watch. To this day, I frustrate my wife because I'm a channel surfer, because during the commercials I've got to go find out what else is on. And of course, they're still on commercials because everybody goes to commercials at the same time. And she cannot stand that. So a few things that I've learned from my dad. The remote was the best invention in the world. Today I'm excited to preach to you a message called "At Just the Right Time." At just the right time. Everybody say, "At just the right time." And I'll say, "At just the right time." Say it again, "At just the right time." When we were kids, my dad used to ask us, "What do you have inside you?" And the answer was, of course, fire. But we weren't supposed to be quiet. The question was, "What do you have inside you?" And it was fire. We're supposed to yell that. There were a few times that fire trucks came up the road because we were yelling fire and neighbors called. I think they got a fire. No. But that was the one thing we had to learn, was what's inside you is a fire.
That's right.
If there's anything I can convince of you, this, that my dad has a passion inside him and a fire, and that is contagious.
Amen.
And that will grow. And so I'm challenging you to get the fire inside of you. Because there is a vision here in this place. There is a purpose here. This church is not an accident. This church is not just a happenstance. This church is not a mistake. There is a vision. There is a purpose. There's a trembling in the ground. I feel it.
Amen.
In the Spirit. There's a trembling in the Spirit. An awakening. A resurgence. Something is happening here. There's a power here. That God wants to do something powerful. He wants to wake people up out of their slumber and bring them to Himself.
Amen, brother.
God wants to challenge us to be a part of that. We're not just supposed to sit back and watch it happen. We've got a passion. We've got a future. We've got a hope. And He's called us to be a part.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90. You've got a purpose.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if you're 30. Just had to throw that in there. If you'll go to the book of Ephesians. I was going to use Pastor Sherry's Bible, but it was still a little bit challenging, so I'm going to go the new technology way. Before I start reading, let's just pray. Dear Jesus, we know that Your presence is already here. That You're going to do amazing things. You've already done amazing things. Lord, I ask now that in this moment You would speak to us. The words that come from my mouth wouldn't just be mine, but they would be words for each person here. Fill this room with Your presence like never before.
Yes.
Touch us with Your glory. Let Your glory be in this place. The anointing reside not just on me, but on each of us here. Speak to us Your will, Your purpose, why we're here, what reason we have. You know it. Reveal to us Your plans, Your destiny, Your calling for each of us. In the blessed and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read a few of the verses here, verses 3 through 11. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. He has blessed us with every blessing. Do you know how blessed you are?
Amen.
Do you think about it? Do you understand it? And I know there are times when it's challenging to understand the blessing of God because we're going through circumstances. We go through situations which we don't understand. I have psoriasis. And sometimes it's miserable. It's painful. And yet, I don't know why. But I know that God's spiritual blessings are there for me.
You bet.
And so I don't focus on the psoriasis. I focus on that God's got a plan for me. It doesn't matter. We got kids that have issues, health issues. Why? I don't know. But God's got spiritual blessings there in store for us. What's your situation? What's your circumstance? I don't know, but we all have them. We all have things that want to distract us from the blessing of God. But we need to keep our focus on the fact that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
We're united with Christ. Verse 4, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Do we understand that? Can we even get a glimpse of that? That before He created the world, He saw you. Before He set everything in motion, He saw you. You are important to God.
Amen.
You are so important to God. And many times we wonder, right? We think, how can we be so important to God? There's so many things going on. We're small. We're frail. If you look at the eternity, we're just a speck. Just a little period in a big sentence.
Wow.
and yet we are important to God.
Good.
He saw you before He created the whole world. Chose us. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Listen, you're a part of God's family. He adopted you. That word adopted has taken on a whole new meaning to my wife and I because we're foster parents and we're doing it with the purpose of adopting. In fact, the little girl that we have, we adopted her. I shared that last time I was here, that God brought about an amazing, miraculous thing that we were able to adopt her. And so the adoption is we chose her. She didn't choose us necessarily, but we chose her. Our sons, they were born to us. We're their parents, right? There's something about God choosing us to be a part of His family. He adopted you.
Excellent.
He took you in. He made you His own. That's got to mean something to you.
You bet.
And not only did He want to do it, it gave Him pleasure. Me, a mess, it gave Him pleasure. Me, a screw-up, it gave Him pleasure. No matter what I've done, it gave Him pleasure. Same situation for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, it gave Him pleasure to bring you into His family. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. Are we praising God through thick and thin? We read the Psalms. We read about David who's being chased by Saul, whose own family is now out to get him, and yet he's speaking forth the praises of God because he knows that in order to praise God, he's got to get his eyes off himself. In order to move forward, he's got to get his eyes off himself and onto God. And same thing with us. What's your situation? Get your eyes off yourself and onto God and speak praises.
Excellent.
Nothing moves God more than praises. When we praise God, when we thank Him in advance for things that we're expecting or hoping for, it moves the hand of God. What are you praying for? Start thanking God for it. You're praying for someone to get saved? Start thanking God. Yes, my son is going to get saved. Yes, my dad is going to get saved. Yes, my nephew is going to get saved. Yes, my coworker is going to get saved. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank Him for it in advance. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Almost don't have to say anything about that verse. I mean, it's just so powerful right there. So rich in kindness and grace. Purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son. That took on a whole new meaning when I started having my own kids. You know, the whole story of Abraham and Isaac and Abraham offering up Isaac, that's a good story, right? No. He took His own son and was going to kill him. I got to be honest, if the whole world hung on me killing my son, sorry, you're all done. I'm just being honest. I'm not perfect. Purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Jesus. That He showers us with kindness. Gives us wisdom and understanding. You know, one thing that I've begun to realize is that God has given me a lot of wisdom. It's not because I'm good or because I've done anything to deserve it. Because I've spent a lot of time in His Word. One of the great things about being at church in Pullman was the challenge to read through the Bible in a year. And I will tell you that I, in my life of 33 years, I have probably read through the Bible probably 20 times.
Praise God.
And it almost blows my mind to think that I've got more wisdom than people that are older than me, but people that don't read the Bible, they really don't have any wisdom.
That's right.
They don't. I talk to my coworkers and the things that they do and the things that they say, and I'm like, why would you think that would work? I don't understand that. I don't get that. There's no wisdom. The Word of God is wisdom. If you want wisdom and understanding, read the Word of God.
Amen. Right, right, right. That's right.
That's why we read it. Yes, there's good things in it. Yes, it makes us feel good. Yes, it challenges us. Yes, it convicts us. But it's wisdom. It's understanding. What do we need in this life? Wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. A mysterious plan. Some of us, we wonder, what is God's plan? This is, we're getting to the whole point of this message today. What is the plan of God? What is His purpose? Verse 10, it says it, and this is the plan at the right time. Everyone say, at the right time.
At the right time.
One more time.
At the right time.
He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Incredible. The promise of God. At the right time, He will bring everything together.
Amen.
At the right time. How many of us, we wonder sometimes about the timing of God, don't we? Well, it doesn't make sense. But the Word of God gives us examples of people who've had to wait. I can think of the Old Testament of Abraham, who had to wait for the promise of Isaac. For over 20 years, he was promised a son. He had to wait. And in time, he had his son.
Yeah.
The promise. Joseph had a dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. And he told everyone about that dream. The problem was it wasn't supposed to be fulfilled for several years. And what happened to Joseph? He got sold, sent down to Egypt, put in prison, put in a dungeon, left, forgotten about.
Right.
And there he is. And if it's me in there, I'm going, okay, I had a dream years ago. I don't understand what's going on. And yet we don't read that he ever complained. In fact, the chief jailers, put him in charge of the jail, and he was blessed.
Right.
He was bringing blessing to people in spite of his situation and circumstance. So in his waiting, he was still doing incredible things. And see, most of us think that to wait, we're waiting on God, we're waiting on the promises of God, we do nothing, right? We just sit around and wait for God to do it.
No,
there's some work to do. There's some living to do.
That's right.
The people of Israel wandered around the desert for 40 years. And you've all heard the joke, I'm sure, about why did they take 40 years? Because Moses refused to stop and ask for directions. why did it take them 40 years? God was planning and preparing them for their future. Yeah, they made some bad choices along the way. Yeah, they screwed up. But God was preparing them for what they would have to do when they got to the promised land. Because it wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't just going to be a walk through the land and everybody's just going to fall over. They would have to fight. They would have to do what God had called them to do. And so He had to prepare them. They waited for 40 years. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. And yet, thereafter, he had to go shepherd the flocks.
Yeah. That's right.
Wonderful. Getting all stinky. All by himself. Bears and lions trying to make friends with them. No, he killed them. Protecting the sheep.
That's right.
Then there's just this big thing called Goliath. Standing in his way. Destroys that. Then King Saul tries to kill him. He's on the run. But wait, I've been anointed to be the next king. Yeah, you have. We wonder sometimes, why do we have to wait? Countless other stories throughout the Bible of people that had a promise from God and yet they had to wait. Many times we don't like even waiting for a few minutes. I'll never forget the time with my youth pastor when I was working with him, that we would go out to McDonald's afterwards. And There's not a whole lot of fast food places up here, but I'm sure you've all been through the fast food lines where you order like a chicken sandwich, and because it's got to cook longer, they ask you to move and get out of line so they can keep their time right. Yeah, annoying. So I remember, and this was like 10:30, 11 o'clock, there's nobody in line. We ordered the food, and I got a chicken sandwich, and there's nobody behind us at all. And yet, we get up to the drive-thru window, and they say, "Could you pull over there and park?" For what? Who are we stopping? You're not serving anybody else right now. The store's locked. You're only doing drive-thru now. They asked us to move. And you know how when you're waiting, and a second turns into minutes, and minutes turn into days and years, decades. Finally, a couple decades later, we got our food.
And it was cold.
No, it was warm. But I remember waiting when I didn't feel like I should have to wait, and being annoyed and being frustrated, and that still is a sense of frustration to me. Drive through, that they're just trying to keep their time down, and my food is now getting cold because they're serving other people, you know. And so, but anyways, what happens when we wait? We lose focus. All of a sudden, the focus shifts from being on God, on His Word, on His promises, and it goes to our situation, circumstances, and ourselves.
Yeah.
We start to doubt. We start to question, did I really hear from God? Is that really what He said? Are you sure? Maybe we start asking other people, hey, do you think that God really meant for this to happen? You think God really meant it when He said this? We start to wonder. We start to lose our sure footing, our foundation. We start to lose our sense of guidance because all of a sudden we're questioning. We start limiting God and doubting His power. Well, this last year, God's really started putting something on our heart. My dad even started mentioning it, that for Butte, Montana. And Carmen and I, we had, through talking over the course of the past year, we were thinking that we'd go plant a church sometime in the next 5 years or so. In fact, when we planted with the church we're at now, which is the Four Square Church in East Wenatchee, it's called The Living Room. When we planted, the goal was to send us out within 5 years. Cool. We can do that. And then, it really, in a matter of a year, the time frame shifted from 5 years to 3 years. And then we had sometimes when God speaks to me, it's just weird. It's just like, I sense it. It's not like a verbal thing. It's not like, but I just sense it. And over in my spirit, you sense it. And I began to sense that God was moving up the time frame. And I was kind of scared to tell Carmen, because obviously the thought of moving in 5 years was enough. The thought of moving in 3 years was enough. And now I'm beginning to feel like it might even be sooner. And oh dear, I'm going to be sleeping outside for the next few weeks. And so I kind of started talking to our pastor, and man, it just feels like things are happening a lot quicker. I don't know when, but it seems like it's going to happen a lot quicker. And we had a guest minister come in, and he prayed over me, and he said, "I really sense that God is putting you into the deep end, and you're about to go through something even bigger than you've been through before." And then the next day, I had him pray for my wife and I together, and he confirmed that word again. He said, "Really, I sense very strongly that there's something happening, something big that is happening a lot." And it says, it confirmed to me that God was moving up the time frame. And so then it began to be, well, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it could be any time between now and 3 years. And we wanted to plant a church, and we kind of made a list of places we wanted to go. And to be honest, Butte was on that list, but it was really kind of really low on the list. We had places in Washington or slightly in Oregon or slightly into Idaho. And what we decided to do was, okay, if this is really going to happen, we need to start figuring this out. So we can start praying and start making plans. My wife is the ultimate planner. And so without a plan, things tend to fall through. And so we're going, okay, so let's start narrowing down the list. And we decided to go to Lewiston, Idaho, and just kind of see what would happen. And by that time, the list was really just a few places. And so we went to Lewiston, Idaho. We stayed there, and even, it was interesting, on the drive over, we started talking. It's not Lewiston. I just don't feel it. And I don't know what's going to happen, but honestly, my job, I only get one day off during the week. It's separated days off, so it's challenging to get away together. So we just use it as time to be together and have some fun and really to hear from God, though. And so we were in Lewiston and talking and over breakfast and over dinner and everything. And we just really sensed Lewiston was definitely not it. And so we started talking about Butte, Montana. And last summer we drove through Butte, Montana on the way to Yellowstone and went back through it on the way back. And there was something about it. There was really something about Butte. And people had talked to us about it and they said, oh, it's ugly. It's this weird place and you don't want to go there. We drove through there and we fell in love with the place. I loved all the, and I'm not crazy about architecture and buildings and stuff, but I love the old part of town, the uptown part and everything. And there was an emotional response with Carmen especially, who was sensing things in the spirit. And we just really sensed that was the place. And so what I did was I contacted Foursquare, and I said, I know Montana's a different region because, you know, I'm with the Seattle region right now. And I said, what's going on in Butte? Are there any openings we'd like to plant? And so the people from Montana contacted us and said, actually, this is really interesting because we actually have a church that's open in Butte right now. They've been without a pastor now since October of last year. They said it's about 25 to 30 people. And they, right now what they do is they meet in a building and they have a satellite download from one of the other pastors in Helena close by. And that's what they do for service. And they said it's basically like a church plant. I mean, the church has been around for 30 years, but it's been up and down and up and down, and pastors have come and gone. Especially recently, they've been through a lot of pastors. And what do you think about that? And I'm like, well, we really wanted to plant, but we'll see what happens. We went out to visit the church. I preached at the church, and really just we sensed that this was what God was calling us to do. And I always wanted to plant the church. And so you might say, well, this is different. You're not planting a church. You're just taking one over. And, okay, so what? I don't care. I'm obeying God.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if I'm planting or not. I'm here to grow the kingdom of God. It's not about me.
Amen.
It's not about Carmen. It's about what God wants us to do. And He wants us there in Butte. And He wants us there for a reason. So whether I'm planting or taking over church, it doesn't matter. It's the call of God.
There you go.
And so they offered us. They asked us to be the pastor of the church, and they said, but we can't afford to pay you guys. The church is too small, and so we need you to find a job. And this is where it was challenging, because the last two pastors had jobs that were similar to my current job, which was a selling job, distributing of food in grocery stores. And pretty decent pay, you would expect, and yet they couldn't support themselves on it. And so, obviously, nerves about how we're going to be able to support ourselves. And so I started looking for jobs in Butte online, and Carmen can attest it was a very frustrating thing. she's like, well, just apply for jobs. And I'm like, it doesn't tell me who the company is. I'm not putting out my name and all my stuff out there without knowing who the company is. And she's like, just apply for the job. Just do it. Well, what happened was actually just a few weeks ago, I went into Safeway, where I used to work in East Wenatchee, and ran into one of the checkers. And I've been very careful about who I've been telling, because this has been planned for several months. And if word gets to my boss before I want him to know, I'm going to really be looking for a job very urgently. And so I've been very careful about who I told. And I just, there in the checkout line, she asked, what's going on and stuff? And I just, I really don't know why, but I just decided to say, look, we're getting ready to move to Butte, Montana when I find a job. And she goes, really? My husband was born and raised in Butte, Montana, and his family owns Coca-Cola bottling there. And I said, really? I need to get some numbers. I said, I don't know if they're hiring or not, but he might know people that are. The next day, I got an email from the president of Coca-Cola bottling there, and he said, just send me your resume and let's set up an interview. So I literally have a job now that I didn't apply for. I went to Butte, Montana a few weeks ago for an interview that lasted all of 10 minutes because he basically offered me the job right there on the spot. I mean, just incredible. The hand of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. I've got a job in Butte, Montana from 7 hours away. Wow. In this economy. Where people are struggling to find a job. People are hurting to find a job. Some people just don't want to find a job. And yet, God has given me a job, and I just happen to tell somebody about it. God plans things. You know, He meets our needs. And I can tell you right now, we're still hoping that God's going to work things out, because I'm now supposed to move to Butte, Montana with my whole family. We don't have a place yet. I start on the 7th. Yes, everyone says that, and that's wonderful. That's exactly what everyone says. Yeah, the house is there. I'm sure it is, because it's not going to be built in 2 weeks. No. The perfect house is there, yes. God, it's 2 weeks away. Please, show us. Really. No, and I know that God is going to bring it to happen. He's going to make it happen. And so I'm still living out what I'm preaching to you. This is not just coming from me and I've got it all down. No, we're nervous. We're stressed out. We've been living all summer packed. My wife is incredibly, incredibly organized. And while I'm working my life away at this job, working long hours, she knew that she'd have to do it pretty much by herself. So all summer long, she's been packing, and bless her heart, I told her, I said, I felt like God told us not to make money off of what we're getting rid of. And so the stuff that we were giving away, we're just giving it away. And I don't understand that, because we could really use the money. it's so amazing, though. And her heart she said, okay. And she's been giving stuff away, stuff that meant stuff to her, fabrics and all kinds of stuff. And it's just, I'm so amazed by you and all that you've done in preparing this and helping to make this happen. And I know that God's got a plan. I'm living this out. This is what God is doing. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Everyone say, at just the right time.
Just the right time.
Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through several scriptures that God has given me that speak exactly to this. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. I just finished reading Isaiah through the Bible in a year plan. And I just find it incredible that a book of the Bible, which really can be depressing to many people because there's so much horrible things I mean, there's so many things that God is prophesying, destruction, all kinds of things. And yet, there are places throughout Isaiah and even Jeremiah where God just, he blows my mind. And all of a sudden, my Bible just changed on me.
Wasn't that a New King James?
Yeah. Okay. No, New Living. Here we go.
Okay.
Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8 says this, and when I say the right sentence, then you'll know it because it's at just the right time. I want you to repeat after me at just the right time, okay? So this is what the Lord says, at just the right time. Say it again, at just the right time, I will respond to you. On the day of salvation, I will help you. At just the right time. Isaiah chapter 60. You don't have to turn to all these. Eventually, I'll get there.
Did you say 60?
Yeah, 60, verse 22. The smallest family will become 1,000 people. The tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time.
At the right time.
Okay, let's do that again. At the right time. Say it again.
At the right time.
I, the Lord, will make it happen.
Man.
Amazing the promises of God, isn't it? At the right time. The tiniest nation. Jeremiah chapter 33 is going to be the next place we're going to. And verse 15. Yep, Jeremiah 33:15 says, in those days and at that time. Don't say that. I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. At the right time. My goodness. These are promises from God. The next verse, we're going to go to the Old Testament now. Romans. I'm sorry, yeah, that's the New Testament. I know my Bible a little bit. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. This speaks of God's timing and it shows us how much He loves us. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Wonderful, thank you for sharing that verse with us. We can rejoice. But we know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us as sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. If you're in here today and you're still a sinner, God sent His Son at just the right time for you.
Amen.
He wants you to come into His family, and all you have to do is say, I accept you, come into my heart. My goodness. His love. He shows us His love. We're going to go now to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to read 16 through 19. It says, "Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves." Oh, another great verse for us to read. "So be shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves, but beware, for you will be handed over to the courts." Oh, it's going to get worse. "And will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers." That's the great message of salvation, isn't it? Because you're my followers, you're going to go to trial. Yes. "But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about what to say or how to respond. God will give you the right words at the right time." He'll give you something to say. He'll put something in your mouth. He'll give you a word. Sometimes it's a prophetic word to a brother or sister in Christ. He'll give you something to say.
Excellent.
You can count on Him. At the right time. The next verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. It says, "As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time." Say that again.
"At just the right time.
I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. At just the right time." The next verse is Galatians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7. "Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time..." I'm going to say that.
"When the right time..."
"When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law, so He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir." I'm telling you, at the right time, He gives you freedom.
Good.
The next verse is 1 Timothy. You may be wondering, why so many verses? Well, sometimes it's hard for us to understand the goodness of God, right? And the trust of God and the plans of God. So I'm just giving you a whole bunch of verses so you know you can have confidence that God is going to keep His word to you.
Good.
Chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. It says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time," everyone say,
"just the right time,
Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords." And lastly, Titus. Chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. This letter is from Paul, a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them from before the world began. And now at just the right time, He has revealed this message, which we announce to everyone. It is by the command of God our Savior that I have been entrusted with this work for Him. He gives us confidence to know at just the right time. Excellent. So you're sitting out there today and you're thinking, I've got these burdens. I've got people that I'm praying for. I've got people that I want to see come to the kingdom. Maybe it's a promise that God has given you. And you're saying, man, it's been years and years, maybe even decades. And you're saying, I don't see it yet. I don't see the answer yet. And God is saying to you, hold on. Hold on to the hope. You can have confidence that at just the right time, He'll bring the answer.
Good.
Just the right time. Would you all close your eyes? Just want to ask this question now and make sure. If you're in here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have, but you've walked away and you want to return, you want to give your life to Jesus again, I want to give you that chance to let Him come in. He has said countless times, we read it over and over again in the Bible, that He sent His Son at just the right time for you. And so right now, if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, or maybe you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand and just look at me. I'm looking across this room. All right, good. I believe that everyone in here is saved. Maybe you're in here today and you're saying, I'm in that boat of I've got promises, I've got dreams, I've got plans, I've got hope that God has given me, but I don't see it yet. I haven't seen the answer yet. And I'm pretty sure that each and every person in this room can stand up, because I'm pretty sure we all have those. If that's you, I just want you to stand up. Go ahead. Man, it's okay. I'm going to pray for you, because I believe that God has got something for you. If you want prayer today, go ahead and just stand up. If you've got dreams, you've got visions, you've got things that God has promised you that haven't happened yet, stand up and I'm just going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, all glory and power be to Your name. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the One who spoke and the world was created. You are the One who saw us from before You created the world. You gave us a plan. You saw us. And You gave us a plan. In Jeremiah it says, before Jeremiah was even born, when he was in his mother's womb, God ordained him to be a prophet.
Right on.
Oh my goodness, some of you have been running from the call of God. Some of you have been running from what God has asked you to do. Yes, even you at your age, you've been running from God because you're afraid of what He's been asking you to do. And God is saying to you today, He is restoring that call to you. He's restoring that challenge to you. And He's saying, I'm going to bring it to pass.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to bring it to pass. You've got people in your life that you know that He wants to bring to salvation, that you're praying for. And God is saying, that's going to happen. Stand firm. Stand in the gap for them. Continue praying for them. He's going to release something through you. He's going to release something through this church. He's going to release the power of God through this church. He's going to do something new, something that hasn't been done before in this corner of this state.
Yes, Lord. Do it.
There's something that's going to happen. I feel it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God is releasing something into this church, into this very, into the very heart, the very core of this church.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That they will stand when the wind blows. That they will stand when other people crumble, when other people fall away to the side. But this church will stand.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God's got plans for this church. God's got a future for this church. God's got purpose and a reason. It's not an accident. There's a reason you're here.
Yes.
There's a reason you're in this place, and God wants to do something powerful through you.
Yes.
Will you let Him? Will you let Him do it? Release it now, Jesus Christ, I pray.
Yes.
Release it now, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I just pray, would you reach out your hand towards Pastor Kevin? Jesus, right now, I just pray for Pastor Kevin, my dad. Blessing upon him, Lord. Vision.
Yes.
Download to him vision of what you want to do in this place and through this place to this region and beyond. There's a calling. There's a purpose. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. There's a purpose here. I pray the power of God, a release of the explosive miracles of God, and signs and wonders to follow the presence of God. Ah, the presence of God is with each one of you. I just sense this right now. Some of you have wondered. You're afraid of the presence of God. And He says, if you will let me go with you, if you will let me go with you, I will do things for you that you can't even imagine. Like the pillar of fire in the cloud that went before and behind the children of Israel. And He says, I am with you. My presence will be like that cloud. And you're going to walk into people, and people are going to walk into you, and they're going to be like, I don't know what to do. My life is falling apart. And you will speak to them encouragement. You will be able to pray for them. You will be able to draw out in them and speak to them the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. There's so much power in that name. And He's releasing that into this church.
Thank you.
Miracles and signs and wonders will follow. Some of you have wondered if that's for some other church. And you say, that's for some other people. That's for the young people. No. Miracles and signs and wonders will happen through
yes.
you.
Yes, Lord.
When you trust and you obey His lead.
Yes.
Let His Spirit go before you. Let Him guide you. God wants to do something powerful here. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.